Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Mitt Romney's latest gaffes at a fundraiser in Jerusalem on Monday, where he said that the disparity in wealth between Israelis and Palestinians was due to cultural differences, prompting the Palestinian Authority to decry his remarks as a racist statement. A former legal advisor to the Palestinian negotiating team at the Annapolis bilateral peace talks in 2008 and a senior policy advisor to the Commissioner General of the United Nations Palestinian Refugee Agency, Laila Halal, joins us to discuss the remarks and Romney's factual inaccuracies as well. Then we'll discuss the U.S. Senate report out today following a two-year investigation into for-profit colleges that documents exorbitant tuition, deceptive marketing, and abysmal student outcomes, which are the norm in an industry almost entirely subsidized by the taxpayer. Deanne Lunan, the director of the Student Loan Borrower Assistance Project at the National Consumer Law Center, joins us to discuss a $32 billion a year racket funded by taxpayers that uses the GI Bill to rip off minority students and vets, leaving them with crippling debt and worthless diplomas. Then finally, we'll investigate the riots in Anaheim, California, a majority Latino community that has no Latino representation on the city council, with Latinos making up less than a quarter of the police force whose officers were involved in recent shootings of Latinos that sparked the ongoing protests. Martin Lopez, a community and labor organizer, and Eric Altman, the executive director of the Orange County Community Organized for Responsible Development, join us to discuss the lack of majority representation in this troubled community. Joining us now is Laila Halal, who is the co-director of the New America Foundation Middle East Task Force. Previously, she served as a legal advisor to the Palestinian Negotiations Department and advised the Palestinian Constitutional Committee during the drafting of the Basic Law. She acted as an external advisor to the Palestinian negotiating team as part of the Annapolis bilateral peace talks of 2008 and was a senior policy advisor to the Commissioner General of the United Nations Palestinian Refugee Agency and a visiting fellow and instructor at the Refugee Studies Center at Oxford University. Welcome to Background Briefing, Laila Halal.
Thank you for having me.
And I imagine as a Palestinian you were quite struck by Mitt Romney's remarks that were unusual in themselves, since no U.S. presidential candidate has ever held a fundraiser in Israel. But in his remarks to this selective group of largely American billionaires, he mentioned that the disparity in wealth between the GDPs of the Palestinians and Israelis, quoting him, as you come here and see the GDP per capita, for instance, in Israel, which is about $21,000. Compare that with the GDP per capita just across the areas managed by the Palestinian Authority, which is more like $10,000 per capita. You notice such a dramatically stark difference in economic vitality. And in referring to a book called The Wealth and Poverty of Nations, he went on to say, if you could learn anything from the economic history of the world, it's this. Culture makes all the difference. And as I come here and look out over this city and consider the accomplishments of the people to this nation, I recognize the power of at least culture and a few other things and the hand of providence in selecting this place, Israel. Now, that prompted the spokesperson for the Palestinian Authority, Saeb Erekat, to refer to these remarks as being racist. What's your response, Laila Halal?
Well, Romney was, as you said, on a fundraising and political vote-gathering trip to Israel, and he made several mistakes and faux pas, if you will, during his visit. The first and most controversial was this reference to the economic disparity between Israel and the Palestinians. And attributing that difference to culture and the hand of providence. Now, the first point is that he used the wrong numbers in referencing the disparity. There is a great disparity between the economic situation of the Palestinians and the Israelis. Mitt Romney wrongly cited the difference as being between a per capita of 21,000 to 10,000 of the Palestinians, as you referenced. But those numbers are wrong. The right numbers, as we take from the World Bank that studies the Palestinian economy regularly and the Israeli economy regularly, is that The GDP of Israel is 31,000 and it's 1,500 for the Palestinians. That is a much greater disparity, but irrespective of that, the notion that you would attribute the difference to culture it belies the facts on the ground and is a racist notion to say that culture is responsible for economic differences. And by the way, he also compared the U.S. and Mexico and analogized the disparities between the U.S. and Mexico to also make his point that culture is the reason for one country's economic strength versus another's relative impoverishment. But just to sort of elaborate a bit on the disparities between Israel and the Palestinian territories is that the Palestinian territories are under military occupation. And as recognized by the World Bank just last week, the restrictions on movement and trade that the government of Israel places on the Palestinians is precisely responsible for Palestinians' economic stunting. And Mitt Romney completely brushed over this fact, and precisely he didn't even mention the Palestinians, nor did he take into account the occupation.
Well, it sounds like, though, that he managed to not just offend the Palestinians, but also offend the Mexicans. I wasn't aware that this was a double-barreled gaffe, if you will.
Well, exactly. And perhaps it shows more about Mitt Romney's inability to sort of realize who he's insulting and offending in one big sweep. So very, very disconcerting. But Mitt Romney also made a faux pas when he criticized or broke away from Obama's foreign policy or the U.S. foreign policy, generally speaking, on foreign soil. There's sort of a protocol that presidential candidates adhere to when they're visiting foreign countries, and that they don't break with the foreign policy of the United States. And Mitt Romney did that when he took issue with Obama's approach on Iran. Obama's policy is to essentially say that Iran should be stopped from developing a nuclear weapon. And Romney said, adhering to the Israeli position, that Iran should be stopped from developing the capability of developing a nuclear weapon. So he also broke ranks in his other talk during this visit. Well, and then his aide also made comments that Israel has the right to unilaterally attack Iran, whereas Obama has emphasized diplomacy and sanctions as a first step, not taking the possibility of force off the table. But right now, the Obama administration is pursuing a platform of diplomacy and sanctions in order to avoid an attack on Iran, which could unleash a great havoc in the region, and which is in no one's favor. So that was another error of Romney. And in fact, Romney had to indirectly and softly correct the statements of his aide. So we have to really wonder to what extent Mitt Romney is getting good advice in terms of his foreign policy, developing his foreign policy and factoring his foreign policy. And also in terms of, you know, what is Mitt Romney's goal? What was his goals in going to Israel? Was it to represent the U.S. or was it just to drum up support for his own campaign?
Again, I'm speaking with Laila Halal, who is a co-director of the New America Foundation Middle East Task Force, and previously she served as a legal advisor to the Palestinian Negotiating Department and advisor Palestinian Constitutional Committee during the drafting of the Basic Law and was an external advisor to the Palestinian negotiating team as part of the Annapolis bilateral peace talks of 2008, and was a senior policy advisor to the Commissioner General of UN Palestinian Refugee Agency and a visiting fellow and instructor at the Refugee Studies Center at Oxford University. We're talking about Mitt Romney's statements on Monday morning at a breakfast fundraiser at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, before a group of largely American, wealthy American billionaires, talking about the so-called cultural differences between explaining the economic disparity between Israel and Palestine as having a cultural component, which prompted the aide to the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, Saeb Erekat, to suggest that this is a racist statement. Saeb Erekat also went on to say that Romney also lacks knowledge about the Israelis themselves. I have not heard any Israeli official speak about cultural superiority. Have you, Lila?
No, in fact, I don't think that the Israelis would necessarily attribute their economic success to cultural superiority. In fact, Israel's cultural vitality is often attributed to entrepreneurship and to the expansion of the economy and to its strength in developing innovative technology, and the relationship between the diaspora and the Israeli citizenry. So the Jewish diaspora and the Israeli citizenry. So I think, there are very specific reasons why the Israeli economy is successful. And again, we can compare the situation of the Palestinians. For instance, a Palestinian American or American of Palestinian origin who is owns a tech company in Silicon Valley, if he or she wants to go to the occupied Palestinian territories and open up and develop a branch of the IT business in the territories, in the spirit of entrepreneurship, he or she would be prevented from entering Israel, most likely at the airport of Ben Gurion, or even at the Jordanian bridge crossing, because he or she is of Palestinian origin. So the ability of Palestinians to make links internationally, the Palestinians are a diasporic people and the quite successful people internationally, and the ability of the Palestinians to bring their wealth and to develop the private sector in the territories is limited by these kinds of restrictions. And if you take the time to go through things like the World Bank report, you realize that the Palestinian economy is very dependent on the service sector. And due to the restrictions on the ground, have been unable to develop sustainable, productive parts of the economy. For instance, 60% of the West Bank is classified as Area C, and is off limits to Palestinians. So that means natural resources, manufacturing potential areas are off limits to the Palestinians. So there's really a host of restrictions that are unrelated to culture that certainly explain the Palestinian economic struggles, but also I don't, as you said, think that the Israelis would want to attribute their own successes to just culture or the hand of God.
Providence. Well, Lila Hilal, my understanding is that just to sort of step back a moment, that you mentioned who's giving Romney advice. Well, we all know it's the neoconservatives, the people who brought us the Iraq War. His spokesperson in Israel, of course, is Dan Senor, whose sister runs AIPAC in Israel. And they're largely all of the big foreign policy advisors, the rest of the team of people like John Bolton, Elliot Abrahams, all of the people that, as I say, brought us the Iraq War. But just in terms of a little bit of a reality check, Israel, of course, receives the greatest amount of foreign aid that the United States gives to any country in the world. And Obama just upped that by 70 million just a couple of days ago on the eve of Romney's trip, obviously trying to compete a little bit there for the pro-Israel vote. Israel basically got most of the water, all the best land. These Palestinians have not only then under military occupation, they have to pay for their utilities, don't they, from Israel. They're essentially the idea or the lack of acknowledgement of how much the occupation cripples the Palestinian economy and their potential is, you know, fairly callous, I think, for anybody, let alone somebody that apparently wants to be president of the United States.
Well, it is very disconcerting that someone would speak with such a lack of knowledge and indifference to the situation between the Palestinians and the Israelis. It's a major strategic priority of the U.S. to be able to broker some kind of peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. It's always been the priority, and it is recognized from the Defense Department to the State Department to all sectors of government to even the Congress that peace between Israelis and Palestinians is an important strategic objective to have stability in the Middle East. And so the question arises as to whether or not Mitt Romney is able to play a role in which he could actually serve that a strategic objective. I mean, certainly after this trip, Palestinians and many people who are thoughtful and thinking about the role of the U.S. will question whether or not Mitt Romney could serve as an honest broker in the relationship between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And just here, I would also note that, you know, Mitt Romney again spoke out against the policy, took a difference with the long stated bipartisan policy of the U.S. when he said that he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. The east side of Jerusalem is annexed territory by Israel. And no country in the world recognizes East Jerusalem as part of the capital of Israel. In fact, no one recognizes Jerusalem per se as the capital of Israel. This question is one that needs to be resolved politically, and that's the position of multiple Republican and Democratic administrations in the U.S., and Mitt Romney seems to have ignored that reality. So, again, the question is, can he be an honest broker, and can he serve U.S. interests in the Middle East effectively?
Sure. Well, I'm just in closing, I have to wrap it up here, Lila. But the guy that he was sitting next to at the fundraiser, Sheldon Adelson, along with most of his friends, are dedicated to the settlement movement. They're the ones who fund the settlement movement. So Mitt Romney, if he were to become president of the United States, would, I think, pretty clearly change the longstanding U.S. policy on settlements.
It's quite a possibility.
It's a little hard to believe. It's a little hard to believe all of this is happening, but this man actually has a fairly good chance of becoming president of the United States. So I thank you for joining us, Lila Halal.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Again, I've been speaking with Lila Halal, who's the co-director of the New America Foundation Middle East Task Force. Previously, she served as a legal advisor to the Palestinian Negotiating Department and advised the Palestinian Constitutional Committee during the drafting of the Basic Law. She acted as an external advisor to the Palestinian Negotiating Team as part of the Annapolis Bilateral Peace Talks of 2008 and was a senior policy advisor to the Commissioner General of the United Nations Palestinian Refugee Agency and a visiting fellow and instructor at the Refugee Studies Center at Oxford University. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the Senate report released today on the for-profit college racket.